Yeah, it's over a year now since we started our virtual meetings, isn't it?
Yes.
During this horrible pandemic.
Mm.
And there's a little chink there. You started off in my mind because you were talking about Greece and the sun. And this is it. We're looking forward to the summer and when we can all meet, certainly at Brentwood Writers' Circle. We can all see each other at the place where we meet in Brentwood. And I don't know, I've got kind of stuck on this Zooming and talking on radios and so on. It seems very odd. But when it happens, it won't be so surreal and strange as I feel it is at the moment. Now, you had Julie Gowers on last month as a guest, and she is brilliant. She writes the most wonderful newsletters, and in there, four pages, and we've got loads and loads of news and what, who does what and who's being produced and published. And we were just talking about the 80th anniversary of Brentwood Writers' Circle.
Mm.
1st of May 1941, during the war, this little lady started us all off, and the story, it's gone down in history, really. And as a result, we've got a book that has been made of some of 30-odd people writing their stories.
Mm-hmm.
The book is called A Circle of Words, and it celebrates, as I say, it's an anthology, and it's now gone up on various places on the web, and it's cost, I think, about $6.99. We are at the moment trying to recruit some of our people to Brentwood, and again, if they, when they come to join us, to members, it will be £5. There's some wonderful stories in there.
And
as I said, everyone's Zooming now.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting used to it. We have the readers, Billericay readers.
Yeah, what are you reading at the moment? What books, interesting books have you got?
What have we got here? I've got to start it because I have to read lots of other things as well as write. But John Boyne has written The Heart's Invisible Furies. And we haven't got a huge readers group now. We used to have about 22 people when we started. That's 20 years ago. But I think a good dozen do get the book, read it, and then they give their opinion the following month. And we take it goes once a month. And so that continues. Our London group, the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, still working hard, professional writers mainly, but we do have lots of other people that haven't quite got there.
Mm.
And they're helped by Mary Renston's Scriptura. We call it the publishing arm. And three of our authors connected with the society all have their books coming out all together on the 25th of March.
Mm.
And although we can't be there to drink their health, we can talk about their books, and that's what I'll be doing on my own website. And also in the SWWJ website. That's all you need to look to see what we're up to.
Yes.
Lots of lovely things happening despite this situation. And also lots of competitions.
Mm.
Gosh, I would urge writers to just try some of their work into a competition, which you can see in the writing magazine.
And what does it do for a writer? I mean, what does it do by doing these competitions? I mean, if you're starting out in writing.
Well, it helps you. It gives you an opportunity to win. If you feel your story or bit of non-fiction maybe could fit into some of them, say, in the writing magazine. I think there's another writing magazine too. Honestly, it does help you. It shows you what to do. And I won a competition 20 something years ago, Freelance Writer of the Year, and I hadn't been going very long, only a couple of years, and that sort of thing really is wonderful. It really gives you inspiration. And when you go up to collect your prize and little check and maybe a silver cup, it starts there, I feel. But there are local competitions as well in Essex.
Mm.
So keep your eyes out, see what's going. And look at our websites, and particularly the Brentwood one, because that's a nice, easy one. That's www.brentwoodwriterscircle.org.
And coming up next, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to be speaking to Audrey Snee. She's going to be a part of our book club, and she's a publisher, author, playwright, and former international journalist. And she also runs Estuary Publishing, and she's got a brand new book out herself as well. So we're just coming up to the news, Sylvia. So hopefully, once we all get our jabs, hopefully by about May time, we'll be able to have guests back in the studio again.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Very much looking forward to seeing you and receiving all of my chutney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, happy writing.
Lovely to talk to you, Sylvia. I'll talk to you again soon. And thanks a lot. All right. Bye-bye. Now it is the second part of the book club. We've spoken to the wonderful Sylvia Kent a little bit earlier. And we're joined by our guest, who is Audrey Snee. She's a publisher, author, playwright, former international journalist, and she runs Estuary Publishing as well. And we're going to talk about Swan 2. So it's a very good afternoon to you. How are you, Audrey?
Yeah, good, thanks, yeah.
And it's, do you know, we first spoke, I think, back in 2013?
Yes, I know. let's forget all those years have gone by.
Tell us about some of the stuff that you've done, because you've got such a great CV.
It's funny, it was something I always wanted to do when I was a little girl, and my daughter is now a teenager, and she says, "Mum, I have no idea what I want to do in life." And it's so funny, because I always knew what I wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to be a journalist. And the pinnacle of my career was always going to be international journalist, and I wanted to be a correspondent. I had all these dreams of what that would be like, Kate Hady on the war front and everything. It turned out that I did turn out to be a foreign correspondent, but I actually worked for an Asian newspaper. So I was based in London, and I was their London business correspondent, but I worked from my bedroom in Peckham. So didn't live up to the dream that I'd had as a child, but still, it was fantastic, and I got to travel the world and meet some amazing people. And yeah, I do think one day I should sit down and write it all down, just for my kids, if no one else is interested. You know, so I did have some great experiences.
Now,
so anyone out there, any young people out there, do consider it as a job, because although it's a dying industry, there's still a lot of opportunity in that career. So,
Estuary Publishing, that is your baby.
Yeah.
So tell us how it came about, and what sort of people you've got with you.
Well, it's just me.
Right.
So, but I do use as much as I can local. I contract out work, so editors, designers, and for up until very recently, printers as well.
Yeah.
And also all the books tell the story of Essex, really.
Yes.
Essex history, Essex social history. I've decided to sort of focus on that because there wasn't anyone else sort of doing that. I mean, the lovely Sylvia, who you spoke to, obviously does a lot of local history as well. And local history books are fantastic gifts, because they never go out of fashion. And there's always something new you discover about your town or the people who live there, or, you know, and if you move into an area, it's a great thing to do when you move into an area, is to buy a book about the area. So, for instance, a couple of years ago, a new housing estate opened up in Southend, and it's actually where the old Echo factory used to be. One of the books that I've published is called Echo Sounds, and it's the story of the Echo factory, but also about the people, the workers, the employees, and the man who set it all up, and his fantastic career as well. And since the estate went up, I did push, to be honest. I probably annoyed a lot of people at the council. But we finally got a statue up in the housing estate, which actually tells the story of the factory, because on his suit are all these images and pictures, some of which are in the book, but some have been donated by people who, you know, live that history. And then we started to get a lot of purchases. I did, from people, you know, started noticing on the address label it would be from the estate. And I know that these are new people to the town, and that they're, you know, young families moving in. And I've been getting, like, comments from people going, "Wow, it's so great to move into an area and be living in such a fantastic part of the town where it's, such a significance, and to read all that in a book." So I just think it's great. And that's what I love most about my role in Estuary Publishing, is that feedback you get. When you work as a journalist, you put a story out there, yeah, you might get some comments back, but you don't get that personal touch, you know, how it affected you as the reader, or, you know, or saying, oh, my mum worked at that factory, it's amazing, I've learned all these stories about what she must have experienced. Mm.
And it's just to say, it's Echo Sounds, and it's how a South End radio maker changed the world, just in case people didn't know.
And also, they should go check out the statue is in the old Echo Park. It's behind the, people might know where the pub is now, the Saxon King. But it's opposite Priory Park, it's that end of town. But it's all on the South End Museum's website, all the details about the statue as well.
Excellent.
So I do recommend people, even, you know, we can't go many places nowadays.
Yeah.
But you can just pull up right outside the statue. There's an app you can use as well. There's details at the statue or on the website that tell you how to sort of know which every image. There's something like 80 images on there that you can, you know, be guided on what the story tells you.
You're also the founder of South End Writers and Artists Network, which
That's
is
right.
also known as SWAN,
yep.
which is an online forum.
That's right. We've got 530 members. It is really a voice for artists and writers. We don't get any support from the council. I run it mostly myself. Lots of other people are involved in sharing stuff and contributing. And it's great. It's just a forum for us all to come together. Sometimes we have a little moan, because that's what you do sometimes. But mostly it's aimed at supporting others, helping people get their publicity going, supporting events, sharing information. You know, it might be from the mainstream media, it might be from local media. I put some stuff up today about your radio station and told the authors as well, you know, you need to get out there more and talk to the radio stations and the local media. And sometimes it's all about encouraging people, because some people are very, very good at publicity and other people are very reticent.
Yes.
So, you know, it's encouraging that. But it's really just, more a forum than anything, because sometimes it can be quite lonely if you're self-employed, and especially this year.
Yes.
It's been really, really tough for freelancers. Very little support from the government, really, in the furloughing scheme.
Yeah.
And I was going to say to any of your listeners out there, please, buy local this year. Look to your local authors, local publisher would be good as well, local bookshops, because it really is an industry that kind of needs a bit more support. If people can, you know, dip into their pockets and help, that would be great.
Now let's move on to your work as well, because you've done so much, but you're working on a novel at the moment.
I'm working on a novel actually based on my experiences that I spent some time in the Soviet Union. I studied languages at the university, and one of my languages was Russian, and I had the fantastic experience of going and living there for about 4 or 5 months. So that's hopefully coming out later this year, and the title of that is Drinking with Lemonade Joe, because Lemonade Joe was Gorbachev. That's what the Russians called him, because he banned alcohol while I was there, but it didn't stop anyone from drinking alcohol, so it was readily available. So hopefully that I aim to get that out later this year, plus a children's book that I've been writing on and off for many years, and the lockdown has actually enabled me to have a bit of time to get back to it. It's a time-travelling children's book called The Wizard of Old Lee, and instead of him going into the future, he brings two children and their friends back into the past, and they explore Old Lee and the 1900s. So that's that one. But actually, today it occurred to me that I wrote a book, and I think I came in and spoke to you about it when you mentioned in all those years ago. But today is the anniversary, it's the 10-year anniversary of the tsunami in Japan, which is where my book opens. And quite a poignant moment, really, because in Japan they're still struggling with this devastation, you know, 10 years on, and people are still missing, and, you know, we've all moved on in, obviously, all this tragedy and deaths that have come, you know, in the pandemic, but I do feel for people who are sort of still trying to come to terms with that 10 years, you know, 10 years ago, but, so I've got a novel set in that time, and also back in the war, because Japan has been very shaped by these natural disasters, and also by war, of course, as we were. And I did have the absolute privilege of interviewing a man and keeping in touch with him for many years, who lived through those years when the Americans arrived, and he remembered it so clearly. He was 7 years old, and he said it was just a liberation for them. You know, it was kind of a relief that war was over and a new life could start. So, that's... if people are looking for a good read and to take them into a different world, and it is a good story. It's not all doom and gloom. It does kind of go into the whole aspect of survival and being able to get your life back on track, you know, with the right people around you and things like that. It's an exploration of sort of how tragedy shapes people. But
now, if people want to find out more about the Southend Writers and Artists Network, yeah, you can go to Facebook groups.
It's on Facebook, and if they just Google Southend Writers and Authors Network, or just Swan, it might come up as Swan.
Yep.
It usually does.
And then you've got estuarypublishing.co.uk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people can contact me that way as well. There's a page on there if they want any more information.
Excellent. And if there's anybody listening from the Southend Writers and Artists Network, always get in contact with the local radio, because we love to talk to authors.
Okay.
We love to talk to authors and writers.
I will inform them that this is a facility and a service and a lovely people that you are to let them talk, like I have, ramble on about their books.
Talk about books.
Which is what authors love the most,
yes,
as you can tell.
Definitely. It's lovely to talk to you. Hopefully we'll get guests back in the studio again later this year, and hopefully we'll get to see you and Sylvia.
Thank you. That would be great.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you. Bye-bye. That is a writer. She's a journalist. She's done so much in her career, and she's also got her own publishing company as well. That is Audrey Snee.